Good morning, Honeyridge family, on this Thursday, the 23rd of April, which is also the 28th day of our national lockdown. Today we will look together at Psalm 5, a psalm of David. We don't know the exact circumstances he faced when writing it, but it is clear he had enemies who were intent on destroying him. The psalm is a prayer for protection from the wicked and a plea for the Lord to keep David righteous. Today we might not have human physical enemies trying to harm us, but we certainly have to deal with a host of emotional and spiritual enemies raised up by our ultimate enemy who is always intent on destroying us. And there is certainly not one of us who does not need our Lord to keep us righteous. So let us see what we can learn from David. I'll be reading from the ESV. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning or meditation. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favour as with a shield. Commentators have various ways of analysing this psalm, but it seems most natural to consider it in two parts. The first part, verses 1 through 7, considers access to God, or lack of it in the case of sinful men. We might call these the inward or internal aspects of relationship with God. The second part, verses 8 to 12, considers the outward or external aspects of our relationship. The first point I would like us to see is that God hears and answers the righteous. We can see this from verses 1 through 3. First, we note that prayer is to God. It is to God, Jehovah, that David cries out, O Lord, my King and my God, to you do I pray. His plea is not to any other source of strength or help, not to any man, but only to God. This is a central tenet of David's belief, faith, and very existence. It always intrigues me that the central verse of the entire Bible, in the King James Version anyway, is Psalm 118, verse 8, where the psalmist states, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." For we believers, this side of the cross, we can cry out to the same God as David did thousands of years ago, yet with the added knowledge and blessing that we might also call him Father because of the work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Second, we can see that prayer is intensely personal. The word my is used 6 times and I twice in just these first 3 verses. This, of course, doesn't mean that corporate prayer and corporate fellowship is not important. It is, and David himself was a leader in this regard. But it is a recognition that the believer's relationship with God is first and foremost a personal one. Third, we can see that prayer can be by means of spoken words. In verses 1 and 3 we have, "Give ear to my words and hear my voice." These seem to indicate a normal, if I might use a term, type of prayer. But in verse 2 we also read, "Give attention to the sound of my cry." This suggests a deeper sense of urgency, need, or desperation than before. Then we can see that prayer can be unspoken. In verse 1 we have David asking, "O Lord, consider my groaning." Other translations read, "Consider my meditation." Here we are reminded of Romans 8:26, which reads, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." There are times when we are troubled, facing situations with despair and hopelessness, and we have absolutely no idea what to ask for or how to ask it. These too are covered by our gracious Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. We need not despair. We need only to remember to pray. In verse 3 we see that once we have prayed, we expect God's response. But this is not necessarily immediate. We watch. We wait for God's response, and we watch for God's response. Many times we miss out on answered prayer simply because we are not watching for it. The answer is there, but we just don't see it because we are not looking, or are looking for the wrong answer, the one we want, and God has given a different one. The second major point we see is that the unrighteous cannot stand before God. In verses 4 through 6, we have six aspects of sinful man described: wicked, boastful, evildoers, liars, bloodthirsty, and deceitful. In verses 9 and 10, read in context, we see reference to David's enemies at that time. A nasty bunch they seem to have been. And David asks the Lord to deal with them as they deserve. It's easy enough for us to say, but we are not like that. We weren't like that. But David was a man after God's own heart, and any enemy of his is by implication an enemy of God. Without Christ's imputed righteousness, we are exactly the same. Indeed, the Apostle Paul quotes verse 9 of this psalm in Romans chapter 3, where he emphasizes that no one is righteous, not one. David goes on to point out God's response to this sorry state. In verses 4 to 6, we see that in such as these, God takes no delight. Such may not dwell with him, nor stand before him. He hates them. He abhors them and will destroy them. In verse 10 we read that they, the unrighteous, will be held guilty by God. Our God is just, and sin will not go unpunished. In verses 7 and 8 we see David's recognition of God's mercy and grace. It is by God's abundant steadfast love, or abundant loving kindness, by which he can enter the God's house, God's presence. And we too recognize it is only by God's love and grace in the form of Christ's work on earth that we might enter the presence of God. In verse 8, David asks God to lead him in his, God's, righteousness. No one's righteousness, not David's and not ours, is adequate. Only that of the Lord Jesus. Finally, in verses 11 and 12, we see a wonderful prayer for all believers. "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. you cover him with favour as with a shield. Do we do this? Can we really say that we forever sing for joy, that we exult because of our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus? We should. Please join me in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, help us today to believe with our hearts and not only our minds. We know, Lord, that you are infinite in knowledge and wisdom. Nothing surprises you, nothing is hidden from you, and you know us much better than we know ourselves. We know, Lord, that you are a good, good Father, and whatever you do is for our good, even when it does not seem so to us. We know, Lord, that you are sovereign and almighty. There is nothing you cannot do, and there is no one who can thwart you. All of these things should truly make us sing for joy and exult in you. Help us to do this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.